This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. If not in person, definitely virtually. This is quite a moment, friends. And I'm sure we've had enough conversations around the word unprecedented. And so we don't need to use that right now. But this is way more than just about baking home bread or Zoom etiquette or TikTok, or even, dare I say, more than just protecting the NHS. We have a moment here that I think will be a defining moment for most of our lives. So I want in these moments, and we haven't got very long, so let's do this quickly. I want to show you how locked down can become your unlock. And I want to tell a story that Jesus tells that reminds us of the kingdom of God and reminds us that the economy of the kingdom of God is so radical that if we learn to live in it, we would be totally free, truly free. That economy is called grace. So turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we'll look at verse 21 onwards. And I want to start off by saying, look, hey, grace is probably the greatest word in the Bible. And the door to your grace is called forgiveness. See, God trades in forgiveness. Jesus is named for it. And you came into a relationship with him and his grace because of forgiveness. And yet sometimes, even for those of us who've experienced this grace, grace is hard to come by and hard to flow with, isn't it? Why? Why is that? Well, I think the scripture is super clear. Your grace has an enemy. Your joy, your peace, your destiny has an enemy. And the enemy's strategy is really smart. What he wants to do is get in the way of your grace and derail the process called forgiveness. And if you can do that, what happens is you know you have no chance of walking as a true in your true identity as sons and daughters of God. And you never fulfill your potential as disciples of Jesus. And although it's complicated and we don't have loads of time, we know that that's true because it's the experience of our lives, most of us. See, it's possible to know total forgiveness and yet carry the scars of our pain, our mess, our sin, the things that have been done to us, the IOU notes that we carry for everybody else, the memories they did this, the things that we should. And we justify our lives through these filters and we live less than we should and we're stuck. So let's go to the passage. And here's the question. How many of you owe something to somebody else? Now, fortunately, we're not in a big church gathering. Otherwise, I'd get you to tell me what that was. But here's the thing. When it comes to debt, there is one simple rule. Here it is. You owe, you pay. I mean, like, ask any bank, any payday lender, any brother, you owe, you pay. That's the deal. And so Peter has this conversation that he's asking Jesus. And he says, I have someone who sinned against me. I have someone who's a debtor. And he comes to Jesus to get wisdom. And Jesus does what Jesus always does or often does. He tells a story. Verse 23 to 25. He says, this is like a king. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And so he begins this settlement of the accounts. And he comes to someone who owes him 10,000 talents and he's not able to pay. And so the master orders he and his wife and his children and everything they have to be sold to repay the debt. Now, what you need to not get is that one talent in Jesus' day is a vast amount of money. And here in the translation, it says 10,000 talents. So what Jesus, I think, is doing is just picking the biggest number he can think of. It's like kind of hyperbolic exaggeration, you know, is like millions and billions and billions of pounds. So you've got an incredibly generous king, you've got a stupid servant, and the king is settling accounts and you owe, you pay, remember. And Matthew knows, of course, about settling accounts because he's a tax collector. So the time comes for judgment. The king says, sell them all into debt. And we don't get that, but they would have got it. You owe, you pay, remember. And then the servant does something. Look at verse 26. The servant falls on his knees and he says, be patient with me and I'll pay back everything. And you think, because you understand that a talent is a lot of money, no, you won't pay everything. This is a national debt. This is like stupid amounts of money. And Jesus says, verse 27, that the king is moved with compassion. He looks at the fool and he does two things. In the original text, he does them in this order. It's really important. He releases the man, he saves his family, and then he forgives the debt. Now, you have to think about this for a moment, because that's a huge amount of money. It doesn't just disappear. Somebody has to pay. Someone has to take the loss. Who pays the debt? Well, the king pays the debt, doesn't he? In other words, he's offering a whole new system of debt management. You owe, I'll pay. It's the economy of grace. It's the economy of forgiveness. The king says, I'll pay the unpayable debt. I'll suffer the loss. I'll take the price. You owe, I'll pay. It's called grace. So let's pause for just a moment, because this is my story and it's your story. The king came to me one day and said, you owe, I'll pay the unpayable debt. Live in my grace. And it cost him the life of his son. He forgave you everything. We owe everything to grace. And then, of course, the story continues, and Jesus says something incredible happens. So the man who's been released everything gets out of prison, and he finds somebody that owes him a few hundred denarii. It's like the price of a fish and chips supper. It's absolutely nothing. And he sees him, and we know exactly what's going to happen, because this guy's just been let off £1 billion, and he meets a man who owes him a fish supper. And he's living in the economy of grace now, and so he's going to go fish supper shmupper, and he's going to laugh it off, and it's not going to be a problem. But look at verse 28. He grabs him, seizes him by the throat, and begins to choke him. In other words, the stupid slave has received the most amazing grace, but he's not bought into the grace economy. He doesn't get forgiveness. And the servants, verse 31, are so disturbed. Here is a man receiving wonderful forgiveness and then passing on unforgiveness. Have you ever done that? Take him away, the king said. Throw him into prison until he can pay back the unpayable debt. Of course, he's never going to be able to do it. Look, verse 34, in anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything that he owed. Wow. Tortured. Why? Because he gets to live holding on to unforgiveness throughout the rest of his life. His rage, his bitterness, his jealousy, his pain, his competition. He could have let it go, but unless he forgives, it's going to mark his life forever. Friends, listen, we haven't got time, but the most important word in the New Testament is the word grace. We have been saved by grace. It's God's operational DNA. It means a free gift to the undeserved. God loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Grace and forgiveness are the keys to your lockdown. I don't know quite how to explain this to you, but here's my final thought. The problem that most of us have is we want to live in two economies, and God says we can only live in one. We want grace for ourselves and forgiveness for ourselves. We want rights and unforgiveness for everybody else who's hurt us. And Jesus says that's not how it works. If you live at all in the arena of rights and judgment, you get imprisoned by rights and judgment. And it's impossible for you to live in grace. And that's why you're stuck. And then comes one of the most frightening verses in the Bible. You know those verses in the Bible that you try and avoid. I do it too. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive one another from your heart. So, friends, here is the opportunity in lockdown to get unlocked. Because you got some debtors. There are people who hurt you. There are people who did things they should never have done to you. There are people who spoke things over you that limited you, that crippled you. Maybe it's a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife. It could be a business partner. I don't know who it is. The question is, will you choose grace? Grace for them and grace for you. You owe, I'll pay. Here's the really personal thing. We have, all of us at different times, chosen rights. And the consequences are that we reap the whirlwind of rights. And we're stuck. That's the root of why we're so negative. because we're eating at the tree of rights. It's why we're so full of judgment, because we're living on the level of rights. It's why we find ourselves not very happy and discontented and fault-finding, because we want to live in this world. It's like trying to balance between two worlds, and it's not possible. You know what? I've been forgiven a mountain of debt by my Savior, my King, and you hurt me. And I'm not sure I have it in me to forgive you. I'm not God, but I'm going to choose grace. And I'm going to choose to allow the Spirit of God to help me forgive you. You owe me nothing. I choose to rip up the IOU that I've written in my heart for you and to you. And now you go free, and so do I. This is so important. Whatever has been done to you, whatever has been done, I'm not belittling it. This is so important. Get this. Nobody has harmed us as much as God has forgiven us. Unforgiveness is so binding, it imprisons people. But forgiveness is the key to your prison cell. And you know what results? Unstuckness. It's not just a one-time moment thing. It's a lifestyle that we're called to move in if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, because it's who he is, it's how he operates, and it's what he calls us to. You owe, you pay. Or you owe, I pay. Two economies, one choice. I'm going to hand over to you.
Oh, Carl, thanks. That's fantastic. Let's respond to that in reflection and prayer, shall we? Just let's wait on God to speak to us through that. You owe, I'll pay, he says. I'm just going to pray that the Lord will prompting you to remind you of maybe somebody somewhere where you've not been able to forgive. They've hurt you, like Carl was saying, they've hurt you, they've spoken something over you. And deep down there's a lack of forgiveness, and the grace that you've been extended you've missed a trick here. You're still locked in. So I'm just going to pray that the Lord will open your heart to that. It takes some bravery to face up to that, but the Holy Spirit will prompt in you and remind you. And then I'm going to pray that you could pray with me to forgive where that's needed. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to come to each of us wherever we are. And would you tell us now, will you reveal to us who it is that we need to forgive? Lord, as I think about this particular situation or this person or the thing that was said or done, I choose to receive the grace that you poured out on me, and I choose to face this person and say, I forgive you. Because Jesus has forgiven me and set me free, I'm going to forgive you and set myself free and you free.
And for some of us, that's ourselves. I feel like for some of us, we beat ourselves up. And when we do that, we are totally turning away from the grace. And we're just casting a rejection of it. And so if you feel that forgiving yourself is the key thing, then just run towards that grace. Let him take the stick out of your hand that you beat yourself with.
Perhaps there's a woman amongst you who needs to forgive somebody called Ryan. That's just somebody share that word. If that's you, that's just a prompter for you to be able to grab that and deal with it. And as you forgive others and as you forgive yourself, there are some appropriate steps to take, like to let the person go. You don't need to go and tell them necessarily. They don't need to know what they've done. It's more about you letting them go. But it may be that that a word is appropriate. Take advice before you do that, perhaps. And I just want to pray also for those of you who know that you need to receive that forgiveness, that grace that Carl talked about, that £1 million, £1 billion gift, that you need that opportunity for him to say, "You owe, but I'll pay." So why don't we do this, act this out a bit. So if you put your hands out in front of you with your palms up like this, and think about those things that you need grace for and forgiveness for, put in the palm of your hand. And then as we turn our hands over, it's like putting them down at the foot of the cross. We put them down. And we in that moment say, "I'm sorry, I repent. I can never pay off this debt. But I hear what your grace, Lord, and I put this at the foot of your cross." And then if you turn your hands back up again, face up, and you receive his forgiveness, receive his grace, receive his mercy.